8:02 on a Friday, Halford Bruff, Sportsnet 650. In recognition of today, the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation, radio stations from across the country are coming together across Canada to amplify, elevate, listen to, and learn from Indigenous voices with A Day to Listen 2022. It is in partnership with the Gord Downie and Cheney Wenjack Fund. Listeners can tune into radio stations across the country, including the ones right here next to us at Sportsnet 650. Those, of course, are Sonic 104.9 and Jack 96.9. From 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. today, listeners will hear stories from Indigenous leaders, residential school survivors, musicians, and teachers. For more information, go on the internet and visit adaytolisten.ca. As mentioned, you are listening to the Halford and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650. Halford and Bruff in the Morning is brought to you by North Star Metal Recycling. Vancouver's premier metal recycler pays the highest prices on scrap metal. North Star Metal Recycling, they recycle, you get paid. Visit them at 1170 Powell Street in Vancouver. We are also brought to you in this particular hour, Campbell & Pound Real Estate Appraisers. Trust the expertise of Campbell & Pound. Visit them online at campbell-pound.com today.
We're coming to you live from the Kintec Studio, Kintec Footwear and Orthotics, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, supported by over 1,500 five-star Google reviews. Find your perfect fit at kintec.net.
We are still trying to track down Bob the Moj Marjanovic, as he will join us in advance of tonight's game between the BC Lions and the Ottawa Redblacks. All caps. We'll get to that in a moment. Not surprisingly, even though they played poorly last weekend, Lions are significant favorites against a not good Ottawa team. But given what we saw from an inept offense led by Vernon Adams last week, I don't think there's any shoo-ins. There's no guarantees. There's no comfortable games for these Lions right now. And it is going to be a weird sort of test. We talked about this in the early stages of this week, Monday's show specifically, that anytime a team loses its star quarterback, and by star quarterback, I mean maybe the best player in your respective league, and of course Nathan Rourke, and then you lose arguably your best receiver, most organizations that go through that wave a white flag and say, okay,
we're screwed.
We're screwed. Like, yeah. This season's done. We had hopes, we had high hopes, but it's not going to happen because injuries have forced our hand. That ain't the case for the BC Lions right now. They clinched their playoff spot last week with a run of fortunate results. Mm-hmm. They can host a playoff game. So the season is still very much alive. It's a very odd dynamic. As a matter of fact, I don't recall a lot of times where a team has been this decimated and still has aspirations, hopes, and the possibility. Not even the possibility, the reality of going to the postseason.
I think it's a fair question to ask right now. Who is most likely to be the starter when the Lions do play their playoff game, whether that game's at BC Place, hopefully, or whether that game is in Calgary. Mm-hmm. Because the way that Vernon Adams played last week, and don't forget, Pipkin came in and actually got the Lions a touchdown.
Garbage time touchdown, but a touchdown
garbage time
nonetheless.
Touchdown nonetheless, though. I think I maybe just watched that game so with such disappointment. Your chair is creaking. You're like an old wooden ship right now.
Mm-hmm. Diversity.
Like, yeah. It's like a quiet night out on the sea, and all you can hear is the creaking of Halford's chair.
It's a new chair.
Yeah,
I
think you might need to
yet.
Switch it out. Anyway, where was I?
I don't know.
I think the performance by Adams last week was just dreadful. And he admitted after the game, like, I missed a few passes, and now he's got one less target to throw to, right, mm-hmm. in Brian Burnham. So it's going to be a challenge for him. It's going to be a challenge for the Lions. Do we not have Moj yet? Is he not picking up? Okay. Let's move on to some Ask Us Anythings then. By the way, also, the Lions still haven't officially ruled out Nathan Rourke.
I keep seeing that in every story that I read about this team. They're like, the Lions remain hopeful that both Rourke and Burnham will be available for the playoffs. Now, that seems kind of crazy to me. I can't imagine a world in which he doesn't play for the better part of 2 months and then jumps in. I think he's got the talent and ability, but I also know that in the cutthroat world of professional sports, that's just a ton of time to be on the sidelines, but they're not ruling him out. Make no mistake about it. Here's my big, bold prediction for this. If he's even close to going, I think he goes. because I think they've come to the realization that Pipkin and Adams just aren't going to give them – they're not going to give them a real shot at being successful over a long stretch of time. I think Adams, what he showed in that win over Calgary 2 weeks ago, was probably the ceiling, and that was a game in which he didn't throw any touchdowns, but he didn't throw any interceptions. But I don't know if it's anything more than that. Adams became available for a reason.
Yeah.
If he was a signal caller that some team saw as the future or a really valuable asset this season, he probably wouldn't have been moved. Because, again, you talk about competitive balance in any league. When a team is sinking, you're not all that excited to throw them a life preserver, right? You want to throw them an anchor. You don't want to help them out. You don't want to try and save their season. But that's what, on the surface, that's what happened with the Adams trade. Right? And he's probably the best signal caller available. And you're like, well, why is he available? Well, the reality is that he wasn't going to be the guy in Montreal. And we're kind of starting to see that he might not be the guy in BC either. Okay, ask us anythings.
We got an ask us anything. I got to find it right now, but it's a good one. Because actually, during the break, we were talking about the greatest names in NHL history. Andy's a big Czarly Zalapsky guy. Mm-hmm. Laddie, who is your go-to?
I like Vitaly Vyshnevsky.
Okay, that's a good one. So here's an Ask Us Anything, unsigned. Does a person's name influence the person they become?
You had this question last week. I thought it was a great one, and we never got to it. So I actually did think about it, because in our current climate and landscape, people have become Karens and Chads.
Right.
You know, and it's, I don't know. The thing is that the name and the significance of names changes so often. Like, for example, my generation, there was like a billion Michaels.
Yeah.
I had never played on a team or never been in a class where I was the only
Michael. Same with me. Like, there was a bunch of Jasons.
Right. But now.
Now there's Bradens.
Right. No one names their kid Michael anymore. Like, what are you kidding me? I'm not going to do that. So the generationally, the significance of the names change. Mm-hmm. But there are certain ones.
I'm just talking about the certain ones.
Like you don't hear a lot of Clovises these days, right?
Clovis. No, we don't.
I've never met one in my life.
Did we at any time hear a lot of Clovises?
Yeah, well, in the 1930s, yeah, sure.
Really?
Prohibition era, Clovis was
name
huge.
One famous Clovis.
There's a lot of Clovises. Well, they don't have to be famous.
Oh, Clovis. Many people say.
Your name isn't defined by fame.
There's the question. If your name is Clovis, you're not going to be famous.
Okay.
Apparently.
It's like the Seinfeld bit. If you name your kid Jeeves, they're a butler. Like,
the name.
Predetermine them, right?
That's true. If your name is Jeeves, you're a butler.
Yeah.
Okay. The name I always remember, and it's a good sports name, is Colt. Like, you remember Colt Brennan?
You're kind of designed to be an NFL quarterback if your name is Colt. Brennan, Colt McCoy.
And maybe you're probably going to be like, fast.
Yeah.
I feel like there are a lot of slow
Brock
Colts.
Is in that same category.
You think Brock is?
Yeah.
What about Bo? Bo's an athlete, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Did you hear about that great physicist, Bo?
What's his last name? He doesn't have one. It's just Bo.
His last name is The Physicist. That's a good point. And
no surgery.
So Bo is interesting in the history of sport, as we kind of tie it in here, because maybe the most famous Bo for a long time was Bo Schembechler. But then Bo Jackson came around and turned it into a slogan, a branding exercise. Yeah. So every significant sporting Bo in the aftermath gets that now, right? I think there's probably, I'm not going to go back and look through the annals of hacky province headlines, but I guarantee there's one where Horvat's done something significant, and it'll be along the lines of Bo knows goals or Bo knows winning or something along those lines.
Do you guys like your names? Like, I've always been okay with Jason. It's
I like
fine.
Greg. I think you it's, like, it's like common
Greg,
enough dude? That people, well, no, people know the name, but it's not, I'm not, I don't see other Gregs everywhere I go.
So throws like me that, off when people call me Andrew, but I like Andy.
Andy.
Yeah, you're such an Andy. You're not.
You
Andy.
Are an Andy.
People right? call like, me Andrew. I'm like, no.
Yeah,
I'm an A-Dog. Yeah, maybe an Andy.
We're okay with our names because I think we've got pretty like standard down the middle names, right? Like, like what are what's his name? The rich guy, Tesla guy. What are his
Elon
kids?
Musk.
Elon Musk.
Yeah, oh, his kids' names are just numbers and symbols.
Yeah,
and
like
stuff.
Yeah. So
you can't pronounce
X
them
to
with
the third
language.
Power.
Yeah. I mean, not that those kids had a chance of being normal anyway.
I was gonna say
his kids are like
in that family.
Bad example for normalcy.
Yeah.
I know one person in particular who has always hated their name. And the story would be better if I would spell it out and say it, but it's such a distinguishable name, I'd be kind of putting their stuff out there on the radio. But she has a name that the pronunciation in no way reflects the spelling.
Oh, okay. That's
right?
Tough,
when
then,
you
yeah.
when you hear it said yeah. aloud and yeah. then you see the spelling,
oh,
you're like,
yeah.
those two things.
Like
don't...
the Celtic names, like I knew a Kaylee back in the day that was spelled like C-E-I-L-I-D-H. Like it doesn't
right.
look at all like how you pronounce
or,
it.
And any of the Owens that are E-O-I-N. I'm like, that's not Owen.
Right.
That's Eoin. Okay? Your name is Eoin.
What about Ian McIntyre?
What about Ian McIntyre?
I-A-I-N.
That's not that far of a logical leap there, Greg. Okay. That's,
yeah.
I don't think so.
Eoin.
Eoin. Anyway, she spent her entire life having to correct people on either how to pronounce her name or how to spell her name.
Why didn't she change it? I had a cousin that changed her name early.
It was honestly, I think it just became too difficult at a certain mm-hmm. point. She was known as this name, but she would basically, anytime there was a roll call or anytime that you don't realize how many times that people get your name not knowing how to pronounce it or say
yeah.
it. And you spend a good chunk of your life either explaining it or spelling it. And that, to her, got annoying. The reason she never changed it, it's like, well, that's my identity. I can't just become somebody else all
yeah,
of a sudden.
Yeah, you can.
Right?
You can just change your name.
I know you can.
Yeah.
I understand that there are legal ways to do this. But,
yeah.
You know, and now we've got a
Because Bob is Bob Marjanovic,
that's
the
right.
Moj, was actually his real name is Rainbow.
Little known fact.
Yeah.
Few people know that. But joining mm-hmm. us now is Rainbow Marjanovic here on the Halford and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650. He joins us to preview tonight's Lions-Red Blacks game. Good morning, Bob, or Robert, or Rainbow. How are you?
Rainbow.
It was a bit. It was a clever bit that we came up with on the spot. Because we're talking about, do you like your name? And does your name, the one given to you at birth, does it define who you are as a person? I believe I broke Moj's brain, or his phone.
He hung up because he called him Rainbow.
Did he?
No.
Can we get him? Oh, there's the phone's ringing right now. We can get him back. As mentioned, joining us now as we try this again, Bob the Moj Marjanovic here on the Halford and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650. You've also come to the realization that it was your chair, which is awesome.
It was my chair.
Which is awesome.
The whole time.
So after I was chastised for having a squeaky chair, I saw you.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute.
The self-realization.
Am I the old wooden ship?
in real time. Was great, and now you've got a second squeaky chair now, unfortunately. Anyway, let's go to the phone lines. We're going to try this again. Bob the Moj Marjanovic here on the Halford and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650. What up, Moj?
Where are you getting Rainbow from?
Okay.
I heard this Rainbow bit.
Let's try this again. We were talking about, and ask us anything, your favorite bit on the Halford and Bruff Show. Are you defined by your name? The one, of course, that is given at birth or foisted upon you, not one that you can choose later in life. We kind of alluded to the fact that if your name is Colt, you got a fairly decent chance of being a professional quarterback, especially in the NFL. And then we went down the list of names and what have you. So first off, do you prefer being called Robert or Bob, or do you just say, no, just call me Moj?
You know what? I'd go with Bob.
Okay.
Right. And if I go with Bob, I've defied the odds because in all likelihood, I should be pumping gas instead of talking to you guys this morning.
Yeah, that's right. You know,
yeah. As a very Bob level thing.
Fill her up, Bob.
Yeah, okay.
Get the windows, too.
Yeah. Okay, we do need to switch our attention to the BC Lions because we've been talking about them a bunch. And just the odd dynamic that's at play now with the team. So, again, everyone knows that Nathan Rourke is on the shelf. I think everyone knows now that Brian Burnham is on the shelf. I was talking about this earlier. Anytime for any professional football team, if you lose your star quarterback and maybe the best player in the league, and then you lose arguably or maybe your best receiver, you kind of wave a white flag on the season. You say, you know what? It wasn't our year. It wasn't meant to be. Injuries just derailed us too much. But the Lions can't do that. They just clinched a playoff spot. They still got a chance to host a playoff game. Yet at the same time, you're looking at it and saying, it's going to be tough to get some victories, especially with the team is currently comprised.
Well, when it comes to Burnham, and all due respect to Brian, I mean, this team won a whole bunch of football games without him earlier this year.
That's true. That's true.
Punctured lung and the broken ribs. So I think they have enough depth at receiver to overcome Brian Burnham's injury. Now, quarterback's a different story, right? But I think the one thing that Vernon Adams has brought to this team, he's brought hope to this team, especially after what they did in Calgary. They know that he can win them football games. They know he can win them tight football games on the road. Now, of course, he took a step backwards last week. The entire team took a step backwards. But, hey, that's going to happen. It's going to be extremely difficult to beat a team like Calgary three or perhaps even four times in a season. So maybe it just wasn't their night. We'll find out tonight against an Ottawa team that gave up 45 points against the Argonauts last week. So I think we're going to probably get a better indication of what Adams can bounce back to tonight against Ottawa.
Moj, the performance at BC Place last week, and I'm speaking just for myself here, was so bad that any hope that I'd gained after the win in Calgary was like lost. What happened in that game? Why was it so bad?
They just couldn't get any rhythm on offense. I mean, they were 2 for 13 on second downs. They were just, and that's the thing. It's like any sport. You want to get into a flow. You want to get into a rhythm. And offensively, they just couldn't do it. It was just a night of two and outs. Now, why couldn't they get into that rhythm? You know, maybe they just ran, you know, the wrong play. Maybe the play wasn't executed the way it was supposed to be. Vernon Adams said, hey, there's a bunch of times that I just missed guys. Ball should have been outside, should have, you know, throws it inside, et cetera. They just couldn't get into any sort of flow offensively.
So my expectations for this team right now are quite low after that performance, but I just don't know what to expect going forward from this group. Do you have confidence that Vernon Adams can bounce back from that performance?
Yeah, I do. And I mean, like I said, we saw what he could do in Calgary when it went 25 of 32 for whatever it was, 294 yards passing, right? I mean, the book on Vernon Adams, his entire career for the most part, has just been inconsistency, right?
Well, that's the thing, right?
Yeah. So you're going to see games like you saw in Calgary where he threw for like 295, and you might see a game like we saw last week here at BC Place Stadium against the Stampeders. So that's the one thing that they're trying to get out of Vernon Adams is consistent quarterback play. And if they can get consistent quarterback play, I think this team will be all right. But that's a big if.
So, Moj, I got to ask you about Tua Tagovailoa last night. What were you thinking when he went down with that injury and he was doing, what's it called, the fencing?
Fencing response.
The fencing response with his fingers. Man, that was hard to watch.
Yeah, and I mean, we kind of saw a precursor of it last week when he got hurt as well and then came back into the game. And, of course, the Dolphins took a lot of criticism for that, and they were, you know, they came back and said, well, it's a back injury, right? It's just... It's sad because, I mean, you look at these athletes and you look at the amount of time that they invest in terms of their training, in terms of working out, preparing themselves just for the opportunity to get to that level and play at that level. And when you see that happen, you start looking even bigger picture, right? You're not talking about, you know, a guy, whether or not he can play quarterback. You wonder about a player's future with everything that we've learned in the last decade or so with these certain injuries. So, yeah, it's concerning seeing that happen, and hopefully the young man will be all right.
Having been around enough football teams over the course of your career, can you give us an idea of maybe what goes on behind the scenes? Because we got to acknowledge that there's several different voices and players, not actual players, but players in this cast. There's what Tua Tagovailoa wants to do. And I'm going to go out and safely assume that he's probably, I'm playing, it doesn't matter what, I've got that warrior mentality. There's the in-house medical team who's responsible for the assessment and then whether or not to work in conjunction with the NFL, who has their concussion protocol. There's also the head coach. Mike McDaniel is tasked with addressing this postgame. And while he might have gotten it wrong or he might be wrong, he's going off the information provided to him from the Dolphins medical team. So it's created this situation where you're looking for accountability and you're trying to figure out how they got to this stage, that a guy who clearly looked like he was concussed on Sunday was cleared to play on Thursday, and you don't really have any finite answers because, as you well know, a football team is a big operation. There's a lot of different people in a lot of different departments, and sometimes accountability gets passed, the buck gets passed, really.
Well, I think, first of all, when you look at the National Football League, you're right. It's a huge operation. You got to think about the money that's at stake. You think that teams would do everything in their power to protect their investments, particularly when you're talking about quarterbacks, but just any player in general. But, you know, it's also the athletes, guys. I mean, I've heard stories from players in the NFL where their baseline testing for concussion protocol, they dumb it down, so that when they do get tested, even if they are concussed, that, you know, they're going to pass this test. So it's that mentality that players had, and you touched on it. They want to go out there and be with their teammate. I mean, look at Brian Burnham, right? Granted, it wasn't a concussion. The guy broke his wrist and still, you know, finished off the series with four plays, right? They don't want to leave their teammates. They don't want to let their teammates down, and they just want to go out there and be able to compete. It's, you know, it's that quote brotherhood, right? And the fact that if you pull yourself out of a game, you're letting quote your brothers down. And that's just the mentality that they have in football and other sports as well. But like I said, perfect example. Look at Burnham last week. Guy breaks his wrist, plays another four plays till that series is over, and then he pulls himself out of the game. So it's just, you know, we ask these athletes to go out there and give us everything they got. And sometimes they pass that line when they play with a broken wrist or where they play with a concussion. And it's a fine line. And a lot of times we'll see those athletes and teams and coaches cross it.
Seahawks have the Lions in Detroit this Sunday. They're 4-point dogs going in. They just got a little bit of good news that one of the top receivers in the NFL this season, Amon-Ra St. Brown, one of my favorite names, he's going to be out. So that's a positive development for a Seahawks team. They quite frankly could use any positive development they can get right now.
Yeah, they could, but I'm all over the Lions on this one. And, you know, maybe it's the kiss of death, but I think the Lions are a good football team. I mean, watching them on Hard Knocks, you got to love Dan Campbell and what he's doing with that team. So I just look at the Seahawks and, man, I'm sorry. I mean, I don't believe in Geno Smith. And I know that everybody kind of went into the season and they were positive, and, of course, they won that first game. But ultimately in the National Football League, you need your quarterback to win you football games unless you have such a great team. And we saw it perhaps, you know, with the Baltimore Ravens being the best example with Trent Dilfer, a quarterback. I mean, the 49ers the last few years as well with the cast that they had surrounding Jimmy Garoppolo. But, man, you indeed have got to win you football games. And right now, I'm sorry, the Seahawks around Geno Smith aren't good enough to just make him a game manager. They need to get something out of their quarterback play. The rest of their roster isn't good enough for them just to have a game manager at QB. And I think it's going to be a long season in Seattle. I still think they're going to be competitive. I think they're going to win maybe 6 or 7 games, but this isn't a 500 team.
You got a lot of football to consume this weekend, Moj. You got the Lions tonight. You got Chiefs and Bucks on Sunday Night Football. You got the Seahawks Sunday morning. You've got the Monday Nighters Rams 49ers as well. So it's a great weekend of football. Enjoy all of it, and we will do this again next Friday.
Okay, guys, have a great one. Sorry for being late.
All good. No worries, Moj. Thanks. That's Bob the Moj Marjanovic here on Halford and Brough on Sportsnet 650, a presentation of the West Coast Auto Group. Great service, great selection. And you know where they're located? Just over the bridge in Maple Ridge.
Are we going to do our NFL locks of the week? I'm on a one-game winning streak.
I, too, am on a one-game winning streak. Do you want to do a high five, even though the camera's
no,
not?
Okay. I don't.
Okay.
No.
Well, that was awkward. No. You want to do a fist pound?
No.
Okay.
No.
So here's what we'll do. I know we've made the promise to the listeners that the final half hour of the program is going to be all them.
Yep.
But I'm going to need a little bit of time to collect my thoughts after that scintillating hit with Bob, a.k.a. Rainbow.
Okay.
And I'm going to come back and do my lock of the week real quick.
Because you have it, you don't have one.
I won't prattle on and on. No, I don't have one even remotely close to being ready. So I won't prattle on and on.
You forgot about this.
I remembered when you said it 2 seconds ago.
Right.
So I will make a pick. Mm-hmm. You will make a pick, or maybe you've already made
one.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll do that on the other side. We won't waste any time. We'll just say locks of the week. These are guaranteed money, right?
Obviously.
Obviously. Yeah. And then we'll do Hunoid, Ask Us Anythings, and What We Learns. Text to 650-650. It is the Dunbar Lumber text line. We're here for another half hour, so weigh in, won't you? It's the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650.
We can't leap tall buildings in a single bound. We'll never be faster than a speeding law.
Welcome to Kelowna, California, West Coast.
Yeah, Kelowna, baby, best place in the world right here.
Kelowna, California, Kelowna, California, Kelowna, California.
Hey, 31 on a Friday. Happy Friday, everybody. Halford Brough, Sportsnet 650. Before we do anything, I just saw a text come in, so we should address this now because we failed to throughout the show. The podcast today, they're going to be a bit different in that there's no technical hour one podcast. We did an hour one of the show, but it's normally an hour two. And then hour two is normally where hour three would go. Is it confusing enough yet? Yes, that's because we started the show at 7. It's a 2-hour program today. So your podcasts are going to maybe look and be a little different than you're used to.
Are you throwing it all together? Is that what you're doing with the podcast?
No, they're up. I'm putting them up normally.
Well, so hours, there's hour one and hour two.
Yeah.
It's not
but
complicated.
Halford made it sound really complex. Okay, this is what's happening.
Okay, we're going to cut the first half
hour. The conspiracy
hour.
Board behind you.
Yeah, I'm smoking.
We got this here. We put them together.
There's just no regular hour one. There was no. We were from 6 to 7. We are not on the air.
That's all there is.
So that podcast doesn't exist. However, it's been replaced by the hour 2 podcast, which is now the hour 1
Mission
podcast.
Impossible music in the background.
The hour 3 podcast is now the hour 2 podcast.
Dun 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 dun.
No, no, it's that's licensed. We can't do that.
So don't
stop talking right now.
You can do 5 seconds of it, and that's it.
My PSA is don't go looking for an hour 3 podcast. It exists somewhere in the ether, and we're not sure what happened to it. Oh, no. Halford and Breath of the Morning is brought to you by Campbell & Pound Real Estate Appraisers. Trust the expertise of Campbell & Pound. You can visit them on the internet at campbell-pound.com today. We are also brought to you by the Dilawri family of Acura dealers. Experience the Dilawri difference today by visiting your nearest Dilawri Acura dealer today. Okay. We're going to do our locks of the week real quick before we move into humanoid Ask Us Anythings and what we learns. Where would you like to go, Jason, first? Do you want to start or do you want me to start?
I'll start with mine. Mine is the bounce-back game between the Chiefs and the Buccaneers.
Sunday night football.
The line is even, Chiefs at Buccaneers, so the Buccaneers do have home field advantage. And now I know both teams need to bounce back, but I feel like the Chiefs are just the better team.
Yes.
And I think they're going to be really, really upset with having lost in Indianapolis. They
shot themselves in the foot last week in that loss to Indy.
And I hate to bring this into the equation, but I just wonder how much the Tampa Bay Buccaneers preparation was distracted by the hurricane in the area. So I'm going to make the Chiefs my lock of the week on Sunday Night Football. It is an even line. Take the Chiefs.
Lock of the week.
I don't normally pay attention to the Jacksonville Jaguars because I am, like many other football fans, it's kind of a forgettable franchise that doesn't win a lot of football games. But folks, the Jaguars are for real. And they are going to show it this Sunday at 10 o'clock in the morning in Philadelphia. Consider this.
You're going against the Eagles. The Eagles have been so good, though.
I'm going against the perfect 3-0 Philadelphia Eagles. What's more, I'm going against them in Philadelphia.
Okay.
I feel like they might be like the Miami Dolphins, who lost for the first time.
Well, you're getting points, right?
Here's the thing: in the last 2 weeks, the Jacksonville Jaguars absolutely stomped the Indianapolis Colts 24-0, a shutout victory. The most impressive one was they went across the country to Los Angeles, played the Chargers in LA, beat them 38-10. Biggest margin of victory since Trevor Lawrence was 2 years old. Trevor Lawrence is having a year. This is a good team. This is the team that you're going to get 6.5 points going into Philly. Take them. Jacksonville, +6.5, my lock of the week.
Lock of the week.
This is going to be the first time that I'm actually going to make a Jacksonville game appointment viewing, maybe forever.
Yeah. Okay, let's go into what we learns now.
And ask us anything.
Yeah, and ask us anything. It's a holiday show today, so we don't have as many texts in the Dunbar Lumber text line, so I'm going to start with a what we learned of my own. I learned that the trade interest in Jacob Chychrun, the Arizona Coyotes defenseman, is intensifying, according to reports. I think Drager had that. Mm-hmm. The Edmonton Oilers, though, are out on any Chychrun talks at this time. According to Mark Spector of Sportsnet, Philip Broberg is a non-starter as a prospect going to the Coyotes, as is Dylan Holloway. Apparently, according to Spector, Jesse Puljujarvi, with a first-round pick, was not enough for the Arizona Coyotes. So teams with reported interest in Chychrun, who just wants to get out of Arizona, and who can really blame him for that, the Ottawa Senators, the Maple Leafs, the LA Kings, the St. Louis Blues, and the Columbus Blue Jackets. And it is interesting that the Ottawa Senators are in this mix, because imagine if they are able to add a young defenseman like Jacob Chychrun to what's already been a vastly improved roster.
They've got all the right things to make a deal work. They've got the cap flexibility to a certain degree. They've got a bounty of good, young, talented players, some of whom there's a bit of a logjam at particular positions. They've got picks moving forward. They could make this happen. Like, Ottawa is one of those teams right now where they could be players, and this has really been the case for a few years now, in large part because they've been bad, but they could be players in a lot of different things. I mean, for the largest time, they could have also been a dumping ground for bad contracts. I don't think that's going to be so much the case now, because I think they really want to make the next step forward.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But they are a team that can make a lot of things happen. And you can't say that about a lot of teams in a flat cap era where most are pressed up. See, with Chychrun, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people are going to say, why isn't Vancouver on that list? And it would be difficult to pull off, to be honest, between...
Yeah, they don't have the space.
The space, the assets, everything. Yeah. It's going to be difficult. Now, the X factor in all of this is if Arizona goes into the season with a very unhappy player and they're not getting the kind of returns that they want, at what point do they say, okay, we have to start looking, not necessarily the return that we want, but the return that is out there at the moment? I don't know, because Arizona is such a unique situation, if Chychrun being pissed off and unhappy even matters. Like, if he goes out and dogs it.
That's... Just go play golf. Yeah. Like, you'll feel better after that.
The Coyotes are like, we're going to stink by design anyway. Whether you want to play well or play poorly, aside from tanking your inherent value, I'm not sure. So that's going to be a really interesting one to follow, because he feels like a guy that, with a new change of scenery and getting that jolt of new life, could really be a very important contributor for a good team. Even a team looking to make the jump.
There just aren't any good young defensemen that come available in a trade like this, where he just wants out. He wants out of that situation. It's somewhat reminiscent of the Jacob Trouba situation in Winnipeg. And, you know, if a team is, you know, the one thing about defensemen, and this is different than forwards, you only need three or four good ones and you've got a good blue line,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, it's not like you need eight of them, like up front. So if you can add one good, solid, top four defenseman, then it really improves your team. Give us a moo cow on that. What we learned from Tommy from the Valley. Andy...
Dot matrix.
Already done.
No.
I accidentally fired it early.
Okay.
We
moo cowed after the dot matrix.
Okay, this is kind of what Tommy is getting at. Tommy from the Valley, what we learned. Andy loves to talk over Halford, while Jason just likes to have conversations with himself. This is one of the things that we have to work on, is talking over each other. You know what our other problem is, guys?
We're talking over each other.
No. See, when I throw a question out there and it's clear that I'm going to answer it, that's when you don't talk. We are chronic joke toppers.
Yeah.
We have a real problem with that. Someone comes up with a good joke. Your chair actually is squeaking.
Each cherry gets a squeaker than the last. I like that.
Someone comes up with a good joke, then everyone's mind's like, oh, no, I've got a better joke, so I'm going to say it. And then sometimes that joke isn't better.
Well, Andy and I are in direct competition with each other. So when he makes a joke, I feel like I have to make a joke.
And Halford's got a huge ego, so he has to always finish off with like the best joke.
It's because I'm funnier than everybody.
And then I get frustrated and I just sit here trying to put everything back on the rails, but then Andy's talking over Halford while I'm trying to do that, and Laddie, I don't know what Laddie's doing.
I'm glad that we're addressing this publicly.
Yeah.
Because we are acknowledged and admitted joke toppers.
Yes.
We went for breakfast the other day and we tried to have this conversation. It just devolved into everyone one-upping each other.
Yeah.
Like, no, I'm the biggest joke topper. No, I'm the biggest joke topper.
Imagine trying to have a serious meeting.
It's impossible.
No.
It is absolutely impossible.
Okay, are we done?
I don't know.
We're done.
Are we done?
That's enough. That's enough navel gazing.
Feels like someone's trying to top me. Gotta be a better way to say that.
Yikes. Ask us anything. If the Canucks are now in go-for-it mode, should they not be trading first-round picks to put it over the top? Now, I don't know if that was related to the Jacob Chychrun talk. I would not be surprised, depending how the Canucks season goes, if that first-round pick isn't in play.
Oh, I think it's in play.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm kind of here for it. If you're going to be a riverboat gambler and you're going to put a lot of stakes on this season, which you're clearly doing.
They're committed to this group. They're committed to this core.
If you're not all in, you're not all in. That's a poker strategy.
I don't know.
It's not a poker strategy. But if you're going to say at the beginning of the season that it would, what was the phrase that Boudreau used? A huge disappointment, a colossal disappointment.
Yeah, it'll be a big disappointment if they don't make the playoffs.
Then you have to go for it. Now, I don't.
So you're saying it at the deadline?
Anytime.
Yeah.
That first round pick
should
be.
Not for a rental, though.
That first round pick should be in play right now.
Not for a rental.
Yes, okay.
If they trade a first round pick for a rental, I will just like walk up and get out of here. I'm like, that's enough. I've had enough.
Trade him for Tyler Toffoli. He leaves in the offseason. Oh, God, not again.
Have we gone down this road before? There I am. I'm joke topping again.
Where is he? Jaden Coquitlam. Joke topping is not a problem on this show. It's part of the charm. This show is like Jack FM. Just do what you want. It's great.
We play
the listeners have spoken. One listener.
I listened to Jack FM the other day. They do quite literally play whatever they want.
Yeah, that's their slogan.
It's awesome. Yeah. It's a lot of good 80s stuff.
It's just, but
why are you listening to this station anyway? Just listen.
Terrific. Well, if you don't know, we're on the same 96.9 feed, but we're HD3.
Yeah, no.
But
I
for
know.
Some reason, the car always defaults it back to HD1, which is Jack 96.9.
They're just down the hall from us.
And then I was listening to it, I'm like, this is lovely. Never went back to Sportsnet 650 after that. Never went back. What is this, a Jays game? I'm going back to Jack.
A lot of baseball talk here.
Okay. Ask us anything from Chayton in Surrey. Ask us anything. With Brady and Manning being one of the greatest QB matchups ever, who of the present QBs has the best chance of replicating Brady versus Manning? Is it Mahomes versus Allen?
Yes.
Mahomes versus Herbert or another combo of QBs? It's the first one.
Yeah, it's Mahomes versus Allen. It's going to be an awesome rivalry for years.
Last year's playoffs set it up. That was you couldn't have written a better first installment. It's like the Rocky trilogy. Mm-hmm. Like the Rocky trilogy, or however many Rocky movies there were, but Rocky 1, 2, and 3. The first one doesn't the third one doesn't happen in the way that it's built up and the style of cinematography and the storytelling without one. I mean, I think that's understood, right? Rocky 1 was Rocky 1 nominated for an Academy Award?
Yeah, they were. Yes.
So it set the stage for exactly how the other ones should play out.
Mm-hmm.
These great titanic classic boxing matches at the end, pound for pound, punch for punch, are close. That's what last year's playoffs did. And you had that narrative of the Bills of 14 seconds.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, 14 seconds away. So that's set up. The interlopers are, and when you go back to the Brady versus Manning history, there were always interlopers, but I mean the guys that kind of came out of nowhere for a brief period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Philip Rivers with the Chargers, like Justin Herbert was.
Yeah.
He kind of got his nose in there every now and again.
Russell Wilson, you know, flashing the pan.
But that was interesting because that was the different conference. That was who they played in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Eli Manning was one that interrupted it as well. But in the AFC at the time, it was always Brady or Manning, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Rivers came
Mark Sanchez, of course.
Well, remember when is Joe Flacco elite?
Oh, yeah.
That came about. So these guys.
Well, he was unbelievable in that one playoff run.
And that's the characteristic and the trait of Brady and Manning was the longevity and doing it forever against one another. But every now and again, you'll get a guy like a Herbert. I would say be on the lookout for Lamar Jackson to maybe make that ascendancy.
But right now,
it's those two guys.
Here's a question for you.
Yes.
How much greater was Tom Brady than Peyton Manning? Looking back now, I bet there will be some people that will be like, Peyton was better. Brady had a better team, better coach.
Sure. I think Peyton almost redefined how the position was understood because he was a coach on the field.
Yeah.
And he orchestrated the offense in a way that a lot of people just hadn't seen before.
Mm-hmm.
So in that regard.
But if you were to have a vote, who was the greatest quarterback? I think because of all the Brady's obviously a great quarterback, but because of all the championships.
Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time.
He would win that vote.
Yep. And it wouldn't even be close.
But didn't you feel that at times that no one was better than Manning?
But here's the
thing. Manning was perfection
at
times.
If you were to ask me, if you were to take in one game Brady, Manning, or Aaron Rodgers, I might say Aaron Rodgers throws the football better than any of them.
Yeah.
It's such an interesting conversation to have, but you always, because of the way that we're hardwired as sports fans, we're always de facto is who has more rings.
Yeah.
Because it's the easiest way to win an argument. And it's hard to argue. Well, you put Tom Brady in that many Super Bowls, he got you there, and he won a whole bunch of them, too.
Yeah.
Now, Manning won multiple Super Bowls as well, not to the level of Brady, did it with two different franchises, but their legacies are all so different that you could make the case that one is the best in each particular category.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, if you were to ask me, I'd say it's Tom Brady.
Like, in golf, they would often have the debate, you know, how close was Mickelson to Woods, right? Like it was Tiger Woods and then it was Phil Mickelson. And that was, you know, if you want to call it a rivalry, it was a rivalry. But Tiger was so heads and tails above Phil Mickelson at the end of the day.
It wasn't close.
That it wasn't close. But in terms of championships, Tom Brady is so far and away higher than everyone else. But I think the level of play isn't all that different. So that's the difference.
Ask us anything from Jake in Richmond. Would you guys do a first-round pick and Brock Besser for Jacob Chychrun? I would. I don't think Arizona would, though. Jake from Richmond. I believe that they are looking for a Pirates booty, a bounty of stuff that goes beyond. And all due respect to Besser, a 25 to 30 goal-scoring winger with a history of injury problems on a not-cheap ticket. I like Besser a lot.
I would lottery protect it, though, this year.
I just don't think Arizona would entertain it. I don't think that unless they.
I don't.
Well, here's a question. Let's work through this. Would Besser fit with their competitive window? I'd say no. He's probably going to give you the best hockey of his career now, and maybe a year. Maybe we've seen the best.
Yeah.
He's not getting younger. Two, what's a first round pick going to mean to a Coyotes team if they're receiving it from a team who is hell bent on making the playoffs? It's a bit of a risk. You said you would lottery protect it. Sure, you do that without question. I think that. For as valuable an asset as Chychrun can be, and remember, it's not just the player currently, it's a lot of club control on a really affordable contract for a top four defenseman that just people can't get their hands on right now.
Mm-hmm.
You want a ton in return. And if not, don't trade him. Who cares? You're the Arizona Coyotes. You have no stakes involved with this season. You only need to get 3,000 people a night out to sell at your building, and you're not designed to win anyway.
Chychrun's 24 years old. He's got 3 years left on his contract before he can become an unrestricted free agent. So it's not club controlled for that long. Three more seasons. That's probably a consideration that you have to make. Plus the salary cap going up. You're going to have to pay this guy quite a bit of money pretty soon.
Mm-hmm. Here's an Ask Us Anything from Dan. We're all going to need to weigh in here, boys, okay? This is important. Ask us anything. My wife and I are going on a date tonight. You guys decide for me. Should we go for Italian, Mexican, or Thai?
Italian.
I think on a date night, Mexican can be dangerous.
It can be. Although I always have time for tacos, but I'd say
depending
Italian.
How you want the date to end.
Yeah.
Right. You know?
Right. How much are you willing to spend? How much do you like your date?
Okay, so you said it. You
no,
said
it's
Italian.
Not the bill I'm talking about.
Of course, it is his wife, so maybe we should have specified.
Yeah, you said Italian almost right away.
Yeah, I'd go Italian.
And why? Just there's an
it's
inherent.
It's a safe bet, classy, a lot of good Italian joints around town.
There's an inherent romance about Italian food and Italian dinner. That
probably have
maybe
good
there
wine.
Isn't.
Not with, a lot of good wine at Mexican
with
restaurants.
Thai. Oh, there's a lot of good Thai restaurants. Don't get me
when,
wrong.
As I eat this pad Thai and look into your eyes,
you're very noodly based in both, right? Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, my love. Can you pass me the peanut sauce?
He said peanut.
Yeah, there's
just
a
throwing that out there. You know what? I would actually probably at the end of the day go de facto Italian, white tablecloth.
Yep, do it up, class
yep,
it up.
Yep,
Lady and the Tramp. You gotta have the same piece of spaghetti.
You could do that.
Yep.
You could do that. I think that's the way to go, though. You have a nice bottle of red. You sit there, candlelight, lights low.
Yeah.
There's a waiter that maybe has an accent that you're not sure where it's from.
Yelling into the kitchen.
Your wife might be eyeballing him, and you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah, what's going on here? I thought we're on a date here.
Yeah, stop
and then all of a sudden, it just, like, everything spins out of control.
Stop looking
like,
at Paulo.
Should we break up? Is this right for us?
She's been in the bathroom
and then
for
all
like
of a sudden,
20 minutes.
Yeah, like, and then all of a sudden, you're at this, because these guys on the radio told you to go for Italian, your marriage is it's over. It's over, and you're by yourself, and you're at home, and you're just like, where am I going to go from here? We've got children, because the sports radio guys said it. God, who recommended Italian here, guys?
Dan with a follow-up question. Does Olive Garden count as Italian? Dan, I think it's about time you stopped asking dating questions to the show.
That's American.
Is there an Olive Garden in
Langley?
Canada?
Langley.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there used to be one in Park and Tilford in North Van, because I went there when I was a kid.
Do you know, sometimes. I've never been to an Olive Garden. I've never been to an Applebee's.
Really?
None of these American chains that
have you been
get so
to
much.
An,
Chili's, never been to a Chili's?
Have you been to
never.
The Old Spaghetti Factory?
Yeah.
Then you've been to the Olive Garden.
Come on. It's not as... come on. It has to be better than that.
That's fair. That's similar.
Breadsticks are the only difference.
Isn't the quality better?
Really?
Brand, I feel like you might need to venture out of that little caboose car at the old spaghetti factory.
Really?
They're pretty much the same caliber. Again, this is something where we need the listeners to weigh in. Is Halford crazy or is he fairly accurate?
You need to open your mask restaurant is what you need to do. Solve this man's
that's
problem.
That's going to be tough to get off the ground. Also, I'm not really wanting to enter the hospitality industry at this given time. Feels like it's a bit of a struggle.
Somebody stop me!
When is Jack in the Box going to come to Canada?
Has that ship sailed?
Has it? I mean, it seems like a while ago, right?
Yeah. I read somewhere that there is a chain of barbecue places in the U.S. called Dixie's.
Dixie's?
Yeah. I ate at one at it was the airport in Dallas-Fort Worth one time.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't great. Shockingly, fast food barbecue at an airport.
Guys, we've just made history. Halford has just offered his first negative food review.
That's not true. I just put the old spaghetti factory on par with Olive Garden. Was that a positive in your world?
You're very, you know it. You often go in. We've had this problem on road trips before.
You've had the problem on a road
you
trip
You recommend
before.
A place, and then because you've recommended it, you're liking that place.
Yeah, and you're bringing it. I'm trying to make it a good experience.
No.
I feel
responsible. You can't be honest with yourself. You can't
I'm
be honest with yourself. So what
myself.
Happens was we went to this barbecue place in Nashville, and Halford's like, this place is going to be great. It's had great reviews. It was terrible. It was like, it was prison food. And the way it was served was prison food. It was served to us on a metal tray.
It was authentic.
It was awful. And I'm sitting there going like, we're going to need to go somewhere else because I'm not going to eat any of this. And he's like, he's eating it just like shoveling it into his mouth.
It's
he's
delicious.
Like, he's like, it's pretty good, right? Pretty good decision. Like, praise me. I made a good. I'm like, just be honest with yourself. You can say that it sucks because it sucked. It was one of the worst meals I've ever had.
One texter, I think Dan should take her to Griddle Me This.
Griddle Me This is still in the works. We're still working on that. The play. You know what? I don't want to go down this road again because Bruff didn't understand the authentic Nashville, Tennessee experience.
Oh, is it? Is the authentic Nashville barbecue experience supposed to be awful food? Is that the authenticity?
Everything about it was great. It was real. It was hot and sweaty and dirty. Everything that you wanted from eating Southern. It was terrific. It was in a metal tray with the dividers on it.
Oh,
it was
perfect.
It was some sort of ramshackle.
What are you, a child? It's got the dividers on
sounds,
it.
Sounds
I don't
amazing.
Like my food.
It
to
was
touch
some
it.
Sort.
Yeah.
It was some
you
sort of
time. One by one by one.
A ramshackle tent in the middle of nowhere. It was
better
great.
Than a hungry man.
Someone texted, no metal trays in prison. For God's sake, what are our listeners here?
They would know.
Oh, right.
That's right. You can do some damage with the metal ones. You need the plastic ones. Okay, we got to get out of here for now, but we will be back on Monday. Enjoy the weekend, everybody. But for now, bye-bye. Signing off, I have been Mike Halford. He has been Jason Bruff. He's been A-Dog, and he's been Laddie. This has been the Halford and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650.